Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You better put something together for what Danny Mendick is doing right now. What he is, at the very least, is in the lineup every day as your second baseman for the rest of the year.
Since Tim Anderson got hurt, Mendick has been playing shortstop and slashing .308, .348. Two homers, 11 RBIs, 16 runs he has scored in 17 games. The offense has clicked.
Danny has come in and done just an exceptional job. He's hit.
That ball for Danny Mendick is crushed to left, and you can bring him home. Danny Mendick lays into one.
He's driven in some nice runs.
Left side and through. It was on the ground and smoked. To tie the ball game, Danny Mendick.
He's made most every play at shortstop. He's done everything that Tony and the coaching staff has asked of him.
Wow, he's going to read all the stats. I was going to recite all his credits, but now I don't have to because of the production skills of Mike Rankin. Danny Mendick of the Chicago White Sox joins us now in the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Danny, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing really well, man, and so are you. Well, what do you think has been the reason why you've had so much success lately?
You know what? Just preparation on a daily basis. You know, I think the way I prepare for the games, you know, if I'm playing or even if I'm not playing, I try to take it the same way so that, you know, when an opportunity arises like it did, you're mentally and physically prepared and ready to go.
This might sound like a weird question. What has the process been for you to feel like you belong, not just at this level, but almost every level? I mean, to go from junior college to then to a college that was just starting out with a baseball program, to not have any scholarship offers, to go where you did in the draft, to at every single level have to say, you know what, none of you may have heard of me, but just watch, and to get the chances, to get the opportunities, to keep proving you belong.
Yeah, you know, I think that's one of those things I've kind of always had to deal with, even when I was a kid. You know, it's always kind of a little smaller than everybody. I kind of developed later than everybody. And it was one of those things, it's like you're the younger brother. You know what I mean? Like, you're always trying to keep up. You're always trying to prove to the older guys that you can hang with them. And as I've, you know, as I got older, once I got into pro ball, it was like, I'm just going to keep this mentality. I just, you know, I always wanted to win. I always wanted to compete. And in the minor leagues, it was like, I'm going to go out there and be better than everybody on this field. And that just transformed over into me trusting myself and knowing that, you know, I knew I was a big leaguer. It just took a lot of proving, that's for sure.
When it comes to you personally needing a day off, because, you know, you've been asked to cover a lot of ground over the last few weeks, for sure. Do you feel comfortable enough to go to your manager and say, I need a day off? Or is that thing that's in you that has to prove everyone wrong, does it keep you from sometimes doing what's best for you physically?
Oh yeah, there's no days off. I'm never going to ask for an off day. It'll be, you know, the only way I'm getting off, if I'm off, it's because I got shot. But, or if the schedule says, you know, hey, we got an off day this day, that's my off day. But no, you look at a guy like Jose Abreu, that guy, I don't think he's ever asked for an off day in his life. You know, those are role models you want to follow, and I'm the same way. I never want an off day. I don't care if, like I said, my body hurts, that's part of it, but you're out there every day. You play hard.
You want to follow Danny on Twitter, you can. He's at dmendic01. We got to get this man up to 10,000 followers minimum. I think we should be able to do that by the end of business today, certainly. When you talk about doing the work, you know, big picture, it used to be, you say, I put in the work, and that meant you hit balls in the cage and you take grounders and all that. But the fact is, for a major league player with the resources and information at your disposal right now, doing the work means a lot more than that. And now that you've been in the majors, there's so much data about your swing and the pitches that you like. And when, you know, codify, like come out with the zones where you want to hit the ball and don't. How much have you been able to take advantage of technology to accelerate your development and sort of beat your opponents to the punch?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one thing that's pretty cool about the technology. Now, sometimes you can get lost in it. You know, where you get too much, you get consumed over different things and it's not good. But, you know, if you're focusing on, it's almost like you do a scouting report of yourself the night before, right? You go and look at a pitcher and you see what he throws and his kind of game plan. And then you kind of look at yourself and you're like, all right, what does he think I'm not good at? Or what does he want to do to me? So then you get this game plan of like, all right, now this is what I want and this is what he wants. Now this is what I'm going to try to do and where I'm going to try to look. And, you know, back in the day when you're just playing, it was just go up there, see ball, hit ball. And, you know, when you get up to the plate, that's the mindset. But at least, you know, when before you're doing your homework, you're thinking, you're visualizing, you're trying to, you know, I think that's one thing that's really helped me is this, you try to visualize. And, you know, the night before you're laying in bed and you're closing your eyes and you're like, all right, I'm trying to visualize this guy's throw and what he's going to throw me. And then, you know, when you get out there in the game, it's almost like you had 5 at-bats off him already.
What's the difference in preparation for you when you're playing second base versus you're playing shortstop?
You know what? I kind of look at it the same. I've always said this, but, you know, wherever it is on the field, you got to catch it and you got to throw it. So if it's, you know, like if I'm playing second base for shortstop, I'll take ground balls there at second base. You know, second base is a little different. It's a little against the grain, so you try to take more reps, I guess, per se. Shortstop, I've always felt comfortable at. I kind of grew up there. But, yeah, you know, you just try to get your reps in and take ground balls. And my biggest thing when I take ground balls and stuff like that, because sometimes you can just go through the motions. And I think as a kid, I kind of did that sometimes too, right? You're just going through it. But now it's like I really focus on getting a good hop. Every time I get a ground ball, I'm trying to, like, count the hops, pick my hop, and make sure that I choose when I want to field the ground ball. That's kind of my biggest thing.
Are you going to play second base tonight?
You know what? I have no idea. We'll see when we get to the field.
I mean, it the way that you're playing, it would make sense to have you in the lineup and having T.A. back. But since T.A. is back, what's he mean to you guys as a squad?
Yeah, I mean, T.A. is, you know, he's the guy that controls all the morale. When he's in the lineup, there's just like a sense of everyone just feels like, you know, we got our leader back, basically. You know, he runs the team. When he gets up to the plate, it's like, all right, this guy's going to hit something hard somewhere, or most likely he's going to get a base hit, you know, and you kind of feel this sense of urgency as a team, and you're like, all right, well, he's on base. I want to drive him in, and then it just keeps rolling. You know, they say hitting is contagious. And that's kind of what he brings. He brings that contagious feeling of hitting.
What's your relationship like with Tony La Russa? How often do you talk?
Me and Tony have a good relationship. Kind of always had a good relationship. I think he's respected the way I play and that I really care for the game. And, you know, we talk on a regular basis. Sometimes it's, you know, about baseball, or times it's about golf. You know, the other day we were talking about the U.S. Open and different things like that. So he has a good way of, you know, sometimes talking with players and making sure that he's checking in to see how they're doing. You know, because it's, you know, baseball is a game, but we'd also do have life outside. So that's always nice to have him check up like that.
Speaking of the life part of it, what's it like when you're dealing with being optioned where, like, you're with the team and then you're not with the team? How hard is that on you, Danny the person, not even Danny the player?
Yeah, you know what? My first couple years when I was going up and down, it took a toll on me. It was, you know, sometimes you're in there, you're like, well, you know, I don't really understand why. And, then you start to understand there's a business side of it. And it's tough. It's definitely tough because it's like, you know, swooping the confidence right off the, or taking the rug right off your feet. Sometimes they feel, you feel like you're, you know, getting that confidence knocked right out of you. But then I started to realize that it's nothing that I can control, and why would I even stress about it? Right. So, what my goal became is I tried to not worry about it, in the end, be happy that I'm playing baseball wherever I go and wherever I'm at. I'm going to play, you know, just as hard and play the game that I love. And, you know, when my opportunity arises, and when I got that opportunity, when TA went down, I knew that, you know, I got to put some pressure on him. And, you know, so you try not to get yourself consumed in it. And I think this year, and actually I know this year, I did a lot better job of, you know, controlling what I can control and just enjoying that I get to play baseball for a living.
When you mentioned that sometimes the data and the resources can be overwhelming and you can get lost in it, what aspect is most tantalizing in that regard? Either that you've seen guys get in a little over their head with something or get too consumed with it. What particular aspect is like, oh boy, I could really geek out on this to a point where it might be detrimental to my game?
Yeah, you know, I think that's mostly video. If, you know, a lot of guys look at their video and, you know, are always analyzing their swing. That's kind of the one thing that I've learned is very detrimental to a baseball player, because you always want to, like, you always want to fix something, right? Rather than, what if it's just that day you just didn't have it, you know, or you didn't see the ball as well and the sun was out and it was poking through it. You know, it's not always mechanical. So I think that's where guys go down a rabbit hole and they'll start watching video and then they'll start changing their swing based off of, you know, the night before, if they took a bad swing on a ball, rather than maybe it was just my approach, or maybe it was, you know, I didn't see the ball well that night, or I was a little tired or something like that, you know? So I think that would be the biggest.
Who's a teammate that should be mic'd up? Because we've seen Cease mic'd up, I think TA's been mic'd up, Kopech's been, I feel like you got mic'd up at one point too. So who's a teammate that should be mic'd up that isn't?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say Louis Robert. His English is getting really better, and it is like funny broken English. I mean, he is like funny when he talks English, and oh my gosh, it is good. He would be fun to have mic'd up, especially like in BP or something like that. It'd be a good time.
How do you guys work on communication?
I was going to say, how's your Spanish?
Yeah, because there's a lot of Spanish speakers that are on this team. And trying to bridge that gap is, I'm sure, not easy. So how do you guys work on making sure you don't run into anybody, or even just building a friendship and a relationship inside the clubhouse?
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, it's funny. English is definitely the dominant language. My Spanish is not great. I was actually we're on the plane last night, and I sit in front of Lance Glenn, and we're talking about, he was telling me about this app. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called Babbel, something. And he was like, I want to learn like Spanish well. And I was in the same boat. Like, I downloaded Rosetta Stone back a while ago and was trying to learn it, but just never got around to it. And, you know, these guys, they have an understanding of English because they've been here for a while. So it's, you know, fly ball goes up, you'll hear a guy, especially, like, I got it. That's pretty standard. But as far as like conversation, sometimes there's a barrier. But other than that, it's like, you know, for the little Spanish that I know, you try to incorporate that in your English, and maybe they understand it and they do the same thing. So, but for the most part, you know, they do understand what we are saying.
You could be the next Nate McLouth, who, the former All-Star center fielder, who not only spoke Spanish, but spoke Dominican-accented Spanish to the point where it was almost unnerving to the Dominican players, because you take one look at this, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed white guy sounding like Pedro Strop. They're wondering what's going on. Danny, you said you sit in front of Lance Lynn, not you sat in front of Lance Lynn. Are there regular seats on the plane?
Yeah, you know, sometimes you get like a, I guess it's not like a order, but you, when first flight comes in and everyone finds their seat, and then you kind of just stick with it. You know, it's like some families at dinner, when you sit down every night, everyone sits in the same spot. It's kind of how it is on the plane.
All right, that's dope. That's dope. You guys are getting ready to start a really good homestand with two interesting opponents. What's the vibe that you guys as a team have right now?
It's really good. I feel like every time we go to Houston, it's for some reason we just have at their place we have bad luck. And for us to come out of there and put together a couple of good games, win one, and what we did in Detroit, that was a pretty good road trip for us. So the vibes are good. I think everyone's excited to get back home. Feels like we haven't been home in a little bit. We got TA coming back, so that's really good. We got Lance Lynn on the hill today. Our chances are good, and I think you get that first one tonight and just keep rolling. Excitement is a very good word for this homestand.
Danny, I feel like Lance Lynn is hilarious, and I want him to be hilarious. Now, if he's not, tell me it's okay for you to tell me he's not, but is Lance Lynn hilarious?
No, he is. I mean, he's my boy too. So like I hang out with him a lot and he is top five funniest guys. It's just like, he's like this big burly dude, you know, but he's also got like a teddy bear personality in there. Cause he's got a bunch of daughters too. So he's got that, that girly side to him, but he is just an absolute riot. And then the best part is when he steps on the field, he is an absolute bulldog, and it's so fun to play behind him.
Yeah, he seems like a maniac, and that's why I really like him.
Between Hendricks and that, a pitching ninja did a bit a couple of years ago where he interviewed, it was at the All-Star game, right? Where he interviewed both of them to see who could be the most foul-mouthed, and that was a hell of a one-on-one battle in that regard.
Oh, God, yeah. Liam, did Liam win that one?
I don't know if it was even judged. I think Rob Friedman just kind of gave up and let us decide.
Oh, nice. I would pick Liam in that battle, but Lance can definitely he can get after it with the best of them.
Last thing, Danny, and then we'll let you go. We really appreciate you taking the time to do this. As you have been, like you say, that you have been an underdog in this at so many levels and being like the little brother out there, always, always, always having to do the work, never taking a day off, always having to prove yourself over and over again. How do you make sure that you're enjoying yourself? How do you make sure that baseball is fun?
You know, that's probably the best question. I think today everything gets looked at as, you know, there's pressure on things and you want to win. And yes, winning is very important. And that is the most important thing, but also, you know, this is baseball. I think sometimes, you know, I got different things in my camera roll on my phone where I'll go back and I'll look at videos of when I was a kid, of just hitting balls and, you know, just smiling the whole time. And I got a video that I always look at, and it's me when I was like 2 years old, and they used to have this thing. It was a little sprinkler, and the wiffle ball stayed on top of the water, and you'd hit it. You know, it was in the summertime, and you know, you look at that and you're like, man, I played this game because I love it, because I want to have fun. And, you know, now that I'm at the highest level and I've achieved what I wanted to achieve, that doesn't change. You know, you still got to have fun with it. And in the end of the day, the game's going to end. You know, I've talked to a lot of guys about it, and they say they don't remember their strikeouts or anything like that. They remember the home runs they hit, the times they had with the guys. And that's the one thing that I try to keep into perspective, just to understand that, you know, I do love this game and I want to win, but I do want to have fun and make memories as well.
That's so cool. And I know there are a lot of White Sox fans who, if they didn't know you before and weren't rooting for you before, certainly doing so now. So go get them, Danny. Thank you.
I appreciate it, you guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Danny Mendick of the Chicago White Sox.
Some of his answers were hysterical. That they'll be good for drops for Mike Rankin. I could see him writing all of the stuff down that we'll need, but he better be playing second base tonight.
Yep, I hope so.
There's no reason not to, right? Like, Leori is a little bit banged up.
A little bit bad.
But let's just go with the idea that Leori's banged up.
And bad.
But banged up mostly. Or else, Tony would feel compelled to put him in the lineup.
I know.
You have to play Mendick until he says, I'm not good anymore, right?
Yeah, okay. Yes. Because if you're going to win a World Series, you have to have unlikely people having outlier years. It has to happen. And if he wants to be one of those guys, he certainly was in Tim Anderson's. Even if nothing else happens, this is like what I said about Frank Thomas in 05, where people forgot what Frank Thomas did binging home runs for a couple of weeks in 05 that helped them be in a position to win the World Series.
That's right.
And so whatever happens, don't let these few weeks go without proper credit for our guest, Danny Mendick. James Fegan of The Athletic has strong thoughts on the White Sox as well, and information for us next on Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station. James Fegan.
Yes, James.
James Fegan's got some branding on his laptop, making sure everybody knows that he's joined The Athletic.
Can never get too much exposure.
On Twitter at JR Fegan.
I can anticipate this question. It's probably way too early, but
excellent. Too soon. Too soon.
Asking the questions to get the answers you need.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendrick?
If I'd known that, I'd know that. I'd check the rule. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
James Fegan with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some White Sox with James Fegan. You can find James on Twitter at JR Fegan. You read his stuff with The Athletic, and you have heard him all the time on what was the Lawrence Holmes show, and now I'm very pleased that you'll be hearing him here on the Bernstein and Holmes show. So that's cool.
Me too. I'm excited about James getting an opportunity to talk with Dan and you both being weird with each other.
Well, he's here on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So, James, the White Sox, they keep giving you reason to think here's the spark, this is it, and now it's time. And I just don't want to get to the end of the season saying, well, it was never time. Is it ever going to be time?
Hard to say. I think if I knew, I'd be a lot more clear on what I should write on a given night. I would say June has probably offered more glimpses of like what the offense actually needs to do on a consistent basis to be good, but it still hasn't featured the team consistently being good as a whole. The line I keep using is it's not the deficit, it's the level of play that you need to see from them to really believe. And, you know, they can come back from where they're at, but it's about seeing them play well. You know, even on the level of just what the 2021 team accomplished on a consistent basis.
I'm trying really hard to not, like, go overboard with just bashing the White Sox over the head when it comes to injuries. But I got to tell you, I feel like the TA return is a little rushed. I'd love to know what you've heard from his rehab starts. Like, was he running full speed? Because every highlight that I saw of him, he wasn't. And I'm concerned that he's going to come back to the majors and run full speed and cut full speed and then end up back on the injured list.
He wasn't doing that a lot in games, but he definitely was doing that. He was definitely was doing a lot of sprinting, a lot of agility work before he went out. So I don't know if it's a case of let's not fire any bullets in, you know, international league games that we don't need to. Obviously, at some point you want that actually tested at game intensity to really be, but it physically he was doing the things he needed to do before he went out there in Charlotte and played it as safe as he clearly did.
Okay, that I guess kind of makes me feel a little bit better, but we'll see. Do you expect that Danny Mendick will be playing second base?
I don't see how they – I mean, secretly, quietly, and I know it's like the VIP, like, rooted, but, you know, Harrison has, you know, somewhere around an 850 OPS in the month of June. So I think if they're waiting for some sort of regression, they have a reason to do it, at least against left-handed pitching that he's always been really good against historically. I think Danny Mendick's been playing at a level where he has to get those kind of opportunities. I think at least the majority of it with the way he's played and the way he's kind of hit against all types of pitching, especially in kind of more prominent roles and in a lot of big situations. But I don't think it's Tony's never really committed and been like, yeah, he's shown it. He's our guy. He's going to go out there every day, second baseman at any point during his hot streak. So I don't anticipate that fully taking over, and given how much he, you know, respects veteran track record, or, you know, continues to kind of believe that Larry is going to normalize, I don't think we're going to see the, like, Danny Mendick everyday second baseman, you know, with a bullet at any point in the immediate future.
What do we and what does the team actually know about the latest injury to Yoán Moncada, listed as remaining day-to-day with a hamstring?
I mean, there is something in his MRI that shows like some degree of aggravation in his hamstring. The big thing that was emphasized is that when they tested out his mobility and strength, he was able to do everything that he needed to do to have him say like, all right, his leg is strong, he can play, but that Yoán was still feeling something and they don't want him out there running when there's still a sense of discomfort. I think the MRI results were mild enough that they think like, well, he could be back, but they want him at a point of zero discomfort before he plays. And that just seems like it's going to be hard to really get to that point of like, it's absolutely fine. He can go max effort. Don't worry about it within a 3 or 4 day span. And, you know, having to, you know, lose a roster spot to bring Tim back up. It just seems like that Yoán going on a 10 day and just taking another week is the most easy resolution. Maybe they're just worried about how much it's going to maybe throw off their timing, since, you know, it's something that they cite with why Luis Robert was, you know, not hitting for power for, you know, basically all this month since coming off the COVID IL.
I've asked you about this a couple of times. I have been one of the people that is a Reynaldo Lopez fan, and it feels like they've gotten the best out of him over the last 6 months of White Sox baseball. How did they do it, and what do they see for him going forward?
I think, you know, I was talking to Ethan about this yesterday, is that, you know, as kind of much they drove maybe us up the wall with kind of protecting their late inning relievers and, you know, trying to be really judicious with Graveman and Kelly now, and, you know, obviously Hendricks before that, I think they have a real use for maybe more multi-inning relievers. So they're looking at him, they're looking at Jimmy Lambert, they're looking at Velasquez. They're kind of pitching situations a lot like they did yesterday, where, you know, you have a big lead, you get Ronaldo closing up a game with multiple innings, or you're down but not maybe in the position where you're going to use Graveman or Kelly, even though I think they're a little inflexible about not using their top relievers in maybe a one-run game when they're still losing. But having those guys eat innings, eat multiple innings, and kind of keep the game close and not just be in an automatic mode of, all right, we're up, we're going to use everybody, or we're down, we're going to use, you know, the guy we just called up today, and he's going to pitch three innings and all. Look, the game got away from us. How did that happen? So I think they see those bridge guys as really important, given how they're trying to manage their pitchers all season.
And Jimenez, no news seems to be bad news right now.
Yeah, I tried to pin Tony down on it yesterday, whether he's going to play tomorrow, because he alluded saying that, as like, is Haseley, you know, being a left-handed bat, is this somebody you're going to get a given a regular opportunity to, because to have no left-handed bats without him, really, Reese McGuire and Larry Garcia. And he said no because, you know, he thinks Jimenez is going to be back soon and basically going to push him out of the outfield mix. You know, obviously that's been news since it's now been 2 weeks since his last rehab game, but he alluded to the idea that Jimenez is going to be ready to play. He's been doing outfield drills and taking batting practice down there in Charlotte, so I can't imagine the delay being much longer. But, you know, Rick Hahn said if he was out a week with this kind of shutdown they put on him, you know, maybe he'd need another week to get up to speed. It's been 2 weeks instead, so I think a week and a half, maybe even a little bit longer, is probably more reasonable to expect for him to get back his timing, because obviously he didn't have it as well as he should have when he caught back last year from a long-term injury.
When you look at some of the numbers and add it to what you're seeing, what's going on with Lucas Giolito, and why has he not been as effective?
He kind of lost the fastball shape that he had, you know, at least the outings before this last one. It was just not getting the kind of sort of ride, not having kind of the movement characteristics. Even the velo was generally where it's been on the last couple of outings. So the kind of mechanical adjustments they alluded to was trying to fix that. And they saw some signs of it Friday, to get them thinking they're on the right path. But obviously the location of his off-speed stuff kind of fell out of whack for reasons that's kind of hard to pin down. I think the short answer is that they feel it's mechanical more than it's, you know, he's having stamina issues off of COVID or something like that. Maybe, you know, that kind of absence threw him off a little bit where it's fixing it. But, you know, Ethan Katz very, very much made it seem like it was something they're going to work out in bullpens and find him back mechanically more than they think it's, you know, some sort of injury or something that's like off long term that they can't fix.
Well, it just looks like the approach of opponents is we'll sit on the changeup now because we don't have to worry as much about 97 getting past us because it's been 94, 92 that he's throwing. So if he doesn't get his fastball to changeup differential correct, it feels like the game plan is just wait on the changeup and drive it someplace.
Yeah, I would say it's not even so much about 97. It's about, you know, having the ride on the fastball where you're so concerned enough about getting on top of it that speeds you up more a little bit to deal with the changeup. Not even, like, I don't think Lucas is going to sit 97 or even much above 94. Probably not much for the rest of his career, but, he's pitched at a level where the fastball characteristics he has and the extension he gets, where that becomes such a thing to kind of try to keep your barrel on top of that it kind of enables everything else that he does in zone. But sitting on changeup is also a reality he's going to be facing, has been facing since, you know, after 2019, where he established that pitch. That's the reason why he built out that slider last year, and that's the reason why they're still trying to establish that curveball, knowing that you can't just be a two-pitch guy the way he was, you know, when he really broke out, because that's not going to work year after year after year.
James, lastly, we heard from Liam Hendricks that he's had a partial tear in his ulnar collateral ligament since 2008. And I immediately thought, wait, what? And then I talked to a couple of doctors, some who've worked with major league teams, and said, you know, it sometimes happens that way. They said, if you checked any veteran pitcher, any 33-year-old pitcher, you're going to find some things that aren't quite right. Some guys live with it. Some guys actually have scar tissue that may kind of toughen it up a little bit. I was really surprised to hear it, but I guess the fact that he offered it that casually means it can't be that big a deal at this point, right?
Another thing he offered casually earlier this season was that he was having a conversation with Craig Kimbrell in spring training where they were debating when the last time they had an outing where they pitched without pain. And for both of them, it was like several years ago. And that's just like normalcy to him. But yeah, I think it's definitely understandable given the way he pitches and the level of activity he has, but you know, everything I've heard is that this was something that, you know, he barely wanted to be shut down for at all. This is being read by his camp as like the White Sox being cautious to this would be something he would try to pitch through, as, you know, maybe as insane as that is. So whatever he's going through is at least normal to Liam and seemingly what they knew about Liam, you know, coming into this 4-year commitment.
Normal to Liam can take on a life of its own. James Feegan, thank you. Look forward to more conversations as this show and the season both roll on together. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
That's James Feegan. And next up, the first ever transition
No, but, not yet.
No, they told me to tease transition.
Really? We're going to it next? Usually there's a... All right, well...
That's why I asked. I cleared it with the tower. I made sure.
Okay, okay. There's usually one more. Never mind. We'll talk to Parkins and Spiegel next on the Score.
His English is getting really better.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.